We've had like 5 false starts of this show already because it's so high quality. So here's for 6, huh? Cheers.
Life's not like flat, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's tied to a pole, he will make you move. If you don't like it, fuck you.
Hey everybody, welcome to another show. We've got a lot of big stuff today. We've got some romance to discuss. You know, we're all good on this show at discussing putting things in people's holes and watching that on the internet, but maybe not so much the lighter side, so we're going to talk about that. You know, we've got some advice to dispense, and also radio, professional radio. Let's see how we stack up. Also, maybe we'll talk about my dead grandma if we've got the time. So stick with us, enjoy, have a drink. Okay, welcome to a new episode, everyone. Thanks for sticking with us, getting into the 140s almost. Big landmark, that one. So I guess 3 years worth of episodes at one a week would be, you know, 156. But, you know, we've been going faster than that, so I don't know, I'll have to look back and find out when our official birthday is, because really these things don't mean all that much anymore. Nothing has any meaning anymore, but we're not going to get into that today. That was last week's episode, so if you want to hear about how nothing means anything, I recommend that one highly. But today, it all matters again. So a friend at work was telling me about, she listens to a radio show. Not this radio show, of course, because why would she? But a regular professional on the radio show. And part of this radio show is they have people write in with their problems, almost always something, you know, it's always that fun stuff like, oh, my daughter's wearing a thong, you know, the answer to which is, well, I mean, if she's 12, yeah, she probably shouldn't wear a thong. If she's 17, I don't know what to tell you. What are you hoping to do? Make sure your daughter never gets fucked for the rest of your life and then her life? Good luck. So, you know, or my husband's farts are really smelly. Okay. Ugh, and it's a show called Slacker and Steve. I mean, sometimes, don't you just wonder? I thought it was a different show when I first started looking it up because I couldn't remember the show. And there's one that's called, like, BJ and the Blonde or something like that. BJ and Alan, I don't know. Trying to look up something about this particular problem and then typing in BJ Blonde or something like that. The results you get are uncanny and, you know, delay the beginning of a radio show for a good 3 minutes. Just because you fall down the masturbatory rabbit well. Anyway, without further ado, let's hear how the regular radio does it. So we'll play some of their audio and I'll be right here with you. Don't worry, we can hold hands, keep having a drink. And let's see how their advice compares to mine.
Slacker and Steve.
Afternoon, 3-7. Slacker and Steve. Slacker and Steve. Slacker and Steve.
On Alice 105.9.
Gulp. Not sure how this is going to go. She wants to be a stay-at-home mom. Her man says we can make that happen.
He'll provide her the lifestyle on one condition. Here we go. Yay, Slacker and Steve.
Yay!
I recently became a stay-at-home mom. I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be at home with my kids.
Who wouldn't be?
And honestly, I didn't want to work anymore because taking care of...
This is like a radio thing. I didn't want to work anymore. They have to, like, talk through fake chuckling. That's a really good staple. That's something they must teach at broadcasting school. When you're reading something to keep it interesting, go like this. Dear mom, I thought I'd go home. You know, what's funny about that?
The kids is a full-time job anyway. While going over our finances, my husband made a comment that he is fine with me staying home, but in order to do so, I have to work out and, quote, keep my body hot. He said he's worried that I'm going to be sitting around too much and gain weight.
I'm guessing the one laughing is Slacker based on that laugh. You know, I think that real professional radio people, what they need is an iPad where you make a soundboard and it's just your laughs. Because then you'd barely have to do anything.
The kids are in school half the day, so it wouldn't be an issue. But why should he get to dictate what I do in my spare time? Mm. He said I should appreciate the fact he works hard to provide me with the lifestyle I live, and I should want to keep him happy because of it. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, man.
I carried, gave birth to, and am raising his children.
I know that.
Aw, snap. That's a big thing. You know, I think that, I'm going to let them go further before I just dig myself into a complete hole. But so let's let them keep going.
And he thinks he has the right to give orders like that? We'll be listening. Please tell him he's crazy. This is from Christy.
We really wanted these guys to come on.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out for us.
Why does she have to be told? She should just be doing this automatically, right?
Ooh, snap.
As married people, that's one of the things you're supposed to do.
There's another school of thought that says
what?
You get married so you don't have to try anymore.
Oh, hilarious.
Now, I think that the first guy was making a hilarious point there. I haven't listened to this yet. You know, a hilarious thing of like, I assumed everyone who got married kept their body sexy and tight. However, let me make this proposal. If we all did, if we all sort of pledged to ourselves to, you know, make an effort, would that be a bad thing? You know, because you hear this a lot. Now, yeah, I don't hear this version that we're listening to right now, but here's the version of this you do hear. You hear someone say, hey, I need advice. I love my wife. Let's switch it. I love my husband. He's getting real tubby. What can I do? And, you know, the normal advice is something like, well, address that you're worried about his health. Maybe you guys get a, you know, tandem gym membership and go together. Turn fitness activities into something you do on the weekends. Make healthy meals, etc. You know, it's an uncomfortable conversation, right? But if his crazy off-the-cuff advice, which is the kind of advice we're accustomed to on this show, if that was the real advice, would it be that bad?
Forget that one.
That's why I got married. This makes me extremely uncomfortable.
I like how this is the guy's line, you know. A bad situation. Wow. I don't know if I could give advice on that. Well, what the fuck are you doing then? What's the point of this whole segment?
In any marriage, you're allowed to... I mean, here... Before people... I'm just afraid to finish any sentence. Look... If you as a woman are attracted to a guy, you fell in love with your husband for certain qualities, and then he stops taking care of those particular things.
Abs, butt.
I think we can all agree that you have a right to sit down with him
arms,
and say,
neck.
You know, you used to open my car door for me. You used to buy me flowers on random Tuesdays.
Oh.
You used to, you know, whatever it is, whatever
romantic
that
gestures.
Thing,
yeah, those.
Be it. Romantic,
I like
gestures,
this guy.
Like you just said, yes.
Slacker
or
is right.
If you're a guy, we don't care about the romantic gestures. We're more visual people.
Yeah.
Boom.
So there it is.
Is he entitled to say, this is one of the things I loved about you from the beginning and I would like you to maintain that?
Well put. And yes, he is entitled to say that because he's providing her the lifestyle that she
Because he's providing. Now, okay,
you know,
okay. See, this is where. Steve is an idiot, obviously. I'm assuming that's Steve. Because this is a Steve voice, and this is a Slacker voice. You know, obviously, that's how it works. This is a Peter voice. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, so let's say I had a wife. and I was working all the time and she was not. Now, the kids issue, I think, makes it more complicated. This is like a go-to. I think some people might be having kids just so that they can, you know, that's like a forever get out of jail card, right? Well, I cranked your kids out. So, you know, what? How angry can you be at me? I birthed your children. I really would like someone to come up with a 100% painless way to raise a baby. You know what I mean? Like you could just, if we could just raise them in test tubes and they came out fine, I would be totally down for that. Because then it would be like, all right, we're equal here. You know what I mean? I had sex with your body. That's hard for me. That's painful for me. And maybe that's not right. Maybe you don't think that's right, but it's true. Not to mention the emotional pain, okay, of having a child, the pressure. I don't know. I mean, I think any sort of incident, there should be, someone needs to come up with a rubric of how long do you get to make that the go-to? All right, let's say you're dating someone and they make out drunkenly with some other person. How long do you get to hold that over their head? Because at some point, you have to say, okay, if you're still holding that over the person's head, you guys should just have split up originally. At this point, you're still holding it over that person's head is worse than what they did, right? That's worse. It overpowers. Everything should have, we should agree upon a rubric. You know, this would be really helpful, too. Like, it's just like tipping. You know what I mean? When you get a takeout at a restaurant, how much do you don't tip 20%, right? But that line is there, mocking you, judging you. You can't get away from it. Anyway, I don't know. I just think that that's, you know, it's a thing. It sucks because there's, you know, we've all decided there's no male equivalent of having a birth. And there probably isn't. I don't know. I don't know. Being paralyzed, something like that. I mean, it would be nice. This would be one of the nice things if I've talked about the would you rather have your arm cut off or have a baby. If I did lose my arm in a horrific accident, you know, it was ripped off of my body, no one could really ever say to you, you'll never understand how painful it is. Because you could always say, well, I did have my arm ripped off of my body. And, you know, my arm did not grow back. Your vagina sort of reformed in some fashion. I understand. So, I don't know. You know, I guess you're right, but at the same time, I mean, you know, you could still hold two coffee cups at the same time in two different hands. I don't know. It's kind of a toss-up there, right? You can't, and that's the thing. You cannot compare unlike pain. I mean, who knows? Maybe taking a huge shit is just as bad. Maybe passing a kidney stone is as bad. We don't know. I don't know how you compare these things. If you look at pain studies, it's all based on self-reporting. There's really no way to know. I don't know. Anyway, be really fun to have if you had a surrogate parent. You know, I don't even know who gets to adopt it that way, the pain. The surrogate, I don't know. I mean, do you just say like, oh, we had this baby, but I don't know. I guess they have to take eggs and stuff out of the woman, right? I guess they probably have to go in after the eggs, I'm assuming. And then a guy just has to basically jack off, and instead of just shooting it into the drain in the shower, he's got to put it in a receptacle. I mean, that's a real challenge as a guy. I mean, I wouldn't want to drive over to a lab just to jack off. That would feel weird. You know, I don't know if I've ever made a special trip somewhere to jack off. Like, got in the car and drove. Oh, yeah, I thought I have the day off of work today. Figured I'd drive up, you know, to Wyoming, check out the country, beat off, and then come home. You know, that's not going to happen, ever. Anyway, so the birthing, and here's the other thing, the birthing of the children is physical pain, and I understand that, but I really think it's the next 18 years, you know. I mean, if a mom gives birth to a kid and then just abandons the kid, I don't think we could say, okay, well, that's fine, she did do the pain. Okay, so let's move on. So, this woman is staying at home, and her husband is providing for her lifestyle. And he's saying, well, because I'm providing for your life, you got to keep yourself sexy. Is he right or is he wrong? Well, both. And let me explain why. He's wrong. Because you can't ask someone to do that when you get married to them. Unfortunately, I think you give up your rights to do these sorts of things. Yeah, I don't know. It would be nice. I think it would be nice, but people are unable to not be hurt when you ask them to do things. You know, if you say to someone, I'm not attracted to you, and it would help if you worked out, there's no way for them to not feel hurt. So you give some of it up. On the other hand, let me put it this way, why he's right. If some lady approached me today who I was attracted to, and she's like, hey, I'm a rich woman that you're attracted to. You know, we've never met before, but let's get married. And here's the situation. I'm going to crank out a couple of kids. You never have to work for the rest of your life. You will be provided for, and it'll be a lifestyle better than you have now. You know, except for those couple years where you're home with babies, that's going to suck balls. But eventually they'll be in school half, then all day, then whatever. Actually, we have to take kids out of the situation, and here's why. Because it would be a loveless, you know, raising of kids, and I can't cotton to that. So let's do this. Let's say she has needy dogs. You know, so I have to take care of them. But it's only going to be until the dogs die. She inherited them from a crazy uncle. She got some other guy to spend the night in a haunted house. She has very complicated relationships. None of them healthy. None of them based on anything good. She says, I got to take care of these dogs. It's going to be about 5 years. Then I anticipate they'll kick the bucket. We'll be married. I'll provide for you. Really, all you have to do is sort of be home with the dogs, feed them, you know, clean up messes, that kind of thing, but nothing crazy. Take them with you when you go somewhere. And one other thing, you do need to work out, you know, 5 times a week. For that, I will provide for your lifestyle. You'll never work another day in your life. I think I would take the deal. You know, I would take the deal with the kids, aside from the idea that I don't think it's a good idea to raise kids in a completely loveless environment. But, you know, if, let's say she already had the kids, and I could help, you know, I was basically a live-in nanny, let's say. Never had to work, da-da-da-da. I would do it, man. That doesn't really seem like such a bad deal. Trading my current workload for exercising 5 times a week? I'm down with it. Now, on the other hand, there is a problem because, you know, does the working spouse get to sort of just let themselves go? Because that doesn't work, right? Again, you know what they should have on this rubric? They should have an acceptable range. Because when you marry someone, if you marry someone who's like real doughy or something, what are you expecting them to do? Get hotter in the next 25 years? You know, oh yeah, well that was when you were 25 and you had a good metabolism. Now that you're 55, I would think things would improve. But there should be a range. Because sometimes you see a picture of someone from when they were young, or when, you know, their wedding picture, and you're like, oh my God, now I can see why someone was so attracted to you. What the fuck happened? What does your spouse think? I don't know. I mean, this probably makes me sound terribly shallow. And, you know, I guess I'm to some extent shallow, but I think I'm just trying to be honest. And I don't know, it concerns me. I would hate to be in a relationship where I felt like I was, you know, getting used to something that I didn't really cotton to. I don't think that would feel good. So here's what my answer is to this woman, if she's out there. Because he's right and wrong, but mostly wrong. For the simple reason that was not the original deal. Now, I suspect that you are somewhat complicit in this because, let's face it, the guy does not sound like the kind of guy who's a total ray of sunshine and now just turned into a complete unmitigated asshole. You know, every other way, he's a great father, da-da-da-da, but, you know, he's really stuck on this one, well, I provide for us financially. So there you go. So here's the situation. Oh, and by the way, this is just for stay-at-home people. I don't really think there's a problem with that. I think it's okay. I mean, it's weird to me that people want to stay home. Not to raise kids, I get that. But I mean, people who don't have a desire to at least have some job, you need to have some kind of job or some kind of school or something, because otherwise you're going to be bored, you're going to get weird. It's not going to be good. I don't think that's very healthy to spend all your time in your family unit. You become like your own cult or something. It's not good. I don't think that's right. I don't know. You should probably interact with people who are not related to you. So here's what I've decided, though. My advice for this woman out in Radio Land. And this involves a little story. Once upon a time, my old roommate worked at a gymnasium. At that gymnasium, there was a woman who, over time, we watched her morph from a woman into, I don't know what you would call it, those weird muscle ladies. And I'm not saying she was a burly lady. I'm saying she was a crazy, spray-tanned weirdo with, you know, increasingly mannish features, yet breast implants, did not own clothing that was not workout clothes, did not own music that was not technified versions of songs that would be used in like a spinning class. This became her life in a big bad way. And she, you know, going to competitions, not good. You know, there's a certain aesthetic, men and women, for these muscle contests that I don't think is attractive. It's just its own thing. It's its entirely own thing. It's like if you're attracted to trannies. I wouldn't say that you're attracted to women and that one just happens to be an attractive woman. I think you're attracted to trannies. I think that's what it is. I don't know. If you find yourself attracted to more than a couple trannies and it's, you know, they're a tranny and you're still very attracted, you might just be attracted to trannies. That might be your thing. That's cool. I don't know. I mean, maybe you're attracted to color printers. Who the fuck knows? God, that would be great. If you were just real into color printers, God, every trip to the Ark would be, you know, as long as they didn't have to have ink cartridges in them. Oh, nothing hotter than a old beat up shitty gray printer from, what was the company? A Gateway, a shitty Gateway printer where the ink is totally run dry and the feeder tray is broken. If that was your ideal, you'd be the luckiest person. That's beyond shallow Hal greatness. That is just, you're set. You're living in the right era to make your dreams come true. A different woman slash printer slash man, whatever, every night. Oh my God, this one has a proprietary cable. It's not even USB. Oh. Anyway, so this woman. So over time, she became more and more of this, you know, morphing before our very eyes. And eventually, you know, my friend worked there, and at one point, she was remodeling parts of her house. So, you know, she did that thing we all do where we say, I'm going to invite some people over to help me do this. You know, 5-6 hours of work, and in return, I'll give them some, you know, oh, I bought pizza. I bought one large pizza and 1 6-pack of beer for you to work all day. And it's like, you do the work and then they give you the beer and you think, first of all, we should have drank this beer first because this is not skilled labor. And, you know, I could have done this drunk. Secondly, I'm not going to drink this now because I'm getting the fuck out of here. I'm driving home. Been here all goddamn day already. So we go over to her house. She wants us to tear up the carpet. That's not a euphemism for doing some crazy sex move or waxing her zones for one of these contests where you know, flex muscles on a stage in high heels. No, this is literally tearing the carpet from the floor to expose the wood. So we do this for a couple hours. It's hot as fuck in the house. You know, I'm sweating like crazy. I've never done this before. I don't really know what I'm doing, but we're just going for it. And she says, let me get you guys some food. And I'm thinking, okay. Here's the food we get. She made us, and I'm doing huge quote fingers, pancakes. These were pancakes made from, I don't even know what, porridge, some kind of oatmeal protein powder combination that is completely unholy. I don't know. It's like when someone makes cookies and then they lift the top off and you're like, what the fuck is that? That just looks like a glob of shit and I can visibly see raisins in there. Why are you doing, why would you tell me you made cookies when what you, just because you put a glob of shit on a baking pan and put it in the oven for 20 minutes on 400 degrees does not mean you made cookies. Okay? I couldn't smear shit in circles on a pan and put it on the stove and then say I made pancakes. Technically, I guess that may be a sort of a pancake, but do not call them pancakes. This is like, you know, me saying, oh, I made pizza. And then you get the pizza, and what is it? It's a huge lettuce leaf with, I don't know, some kind of weird vinaigrette sauce on it, and then, you know, sliced cucumbers on top and sliced raw tomatoes. Oh, this is a pizza. Well, it's round and it has slices of shit on it. That is not a pizza. Okay? This is not the platonic ideal of pizza or nothing, anything remotely close. If you gave that to me, I wouldn't say, ah, pizza. I'd say, ah, what the fuck is this? So this is what she made us, these pancakes. And this, I realized, and she was playing aerobic workout music while we were doing this. And I was just thinking, my God, this has become her whole life. What she eats, what she listens to, how she dresses, her work, her leisure activities, her hobbies, all of it is based around being a fit lady. Which I don't even, is that fit? I have no idea. Regardless, here's what I'm saying to this woman. If your husband is telling you that you need to keep it tight and sexy while he's at work, I think you should go for it, but teach him a lesson by going way overboard, much like this woman. Become ripped. Become a little frightening. Start making these shitty foods that you say are required in order to keep it tight and sexy. And let's just see who breaks first. Because I have a feeling this is not what he intended. And all the while, you can play dumb. Oh, really? I thought this is what you meant. My body's tighter than ever. Here I am, rock you like a hurricane. You know, and then you beat the shit out of him and leave. That seems like the best solution to me. I don't know. Probably almost all my solutions are, and then you beat the shit out of him and leave. Which isn't probably always the best idea. But, hey, what are you going to do? You got to do something. So, yeah, go for it. That's what I think. You just got to be a woman, man. Stand up for yourself. Right? I don't know, man. You got to do something. You got to figure it out. But that's my advice. Get ripped. Make him miserable. How'd I do? Did I sound like real radio trash? Was that good advice? You know, it's different about me in the real radio. They wouldn't talk about that for a half hour. They don't even have a half hour. Every 3 minutes is like, well, we're going to go hear from our friends in the diamond business. And then don't forget, you know, nobody but Bert, Chevrolet, some car. Who the fuck is listening to the radio? And so I'm going to go to that car dealership. Who is doing that? How is that even, you know, when I go to buy a diamond and they're like, oh, I've got a friend in the diamond business. You're home with the $1 who the fuck cares about that shit? What does that do for anybody other than annoy them? I don't know why they can't just in the middle of the show just be like, hey, by the way, if you like this show, we're sponsored by Jared, the Gallery of Jewelry. So if you like this show, go there. Or, you know, put them a Facebook message that's like, hey, thanks for sponsoring the show. We heard your message. The end. They can't do that. We have rules here. So on this sort of topic, I found a great book on the library book sale, and it's called Simply Romantic, Tips to Romance Your Husband. You know, and it says dry erase markers, coupons, puzzle pieces, and chocolates. Could you use a little help to fan the flames of romance? Be encouraged. Tips to Romance Your Husband is filled with innovative ideas to help you show and say, darling, I care about you deeply. Darling, I care about you, D. Wow. You see a lot of articles like this, right? These magazines that say, ooh, how to spice things up in the bedroom. And it's like, put on a wig. Okay, I'll spend $40 to have one time of sex with a wig on. That seems like a good idea. I don't know, just wear a hat, right? Or go to the Halloween clearance, maybe. Then you can get... That's advice. You know, you want to spice it up in the bedroom, I'd say, hit up the Halloween clearance, buy a bunch of wigs and fangs and shit, and see what happens. You only spend $10 for a memory that'll haunt your dreams for a lifetime. So here's what I thought. We could go through this book, discuss the ideas, and I could give a distinctly male perspective. You know, I mean, this doesn't say... Oh, here's who it's written and edited by. Margie Clark, Amy Gordon, Fran Taylor, Greg Stutz, and Mary... French name. I can't figure that out. So, like, four women and one man wrote this book, apparently. I mean, how good of advice could it be? Let's find out. Here we go. Number one, write him a check for 100 kisses. Wow. That's already terrible. First of all, so do you get the 100 at a time, or do I spread these out? And if I'm spreading them out, how are you keeping track? Do you have a spreadsheet to keep track of these kisses? And do ones that I initiate count towards the 100? Or do you have to, you know what I mean? Do these have to be cashed for that specific purpose? Or can they be used at any kiss that happens counts? You know, if you kiss me and wake me up in the morning, that counts. I don't like that one. That's too much paperwork already. Also, I mean, a check? Get with the times. You should give me some kind of debit card for 100 kisses. Or dollars. Buy your guy a leather-bound journal and write inspirational and romantic quotes, thoughts, and love notes for him. As you journey through life together, continue adding new thoughts that affirm your love and respect for him. Jesus Christ. All right. What does that do for me as the husband there? Oh, good, you're writing things like, love knows no boundaries of color. And then I find this journal and I'm thinking, Jesus, does she want to like have a three-way and have a black guy come over? What is this? What does that even mean? Stupid. I find it and I'm just angry because I'm thinking these love quotes are really hack. You didn't even find any good ones. This is very lazy work. I expected better from my I want a divorce. Number three, create a special and unusual place in the house to make love. Leave little post-it notes throughout the house leading your husband to your special love nest. Is this like a fort? Is that what we're talking about? Fucking inside of a couch fort? I mean, I don't know about that. It might be fun, but I don't think I'm really... That's not... I don't think it's going to turn me on. I'm going to be mad. I'll be like, I was at work all day, and you, instead of keeping your body tight and working out, build a goddamn fort? Really? This is how you're spending our time? I don't know. I don't know what a love nest looks like. Every time you see a love nest on TV or something, like a sultan has a love nest, it's all fabrics, which seems, I mean, that's comfy. But I don't know. Do you want to fuck all over these crazy fancy fabrics and pillows and stuff? And then it's all, the fuck fest is over. And who's doing the laundry? Who's doing all that laundry? I want to know. Number four, before your next day at the beach, all right, just skip that one because we don't do days at the beach. Number five, write messages to your husband on cardstock and cut it into 5 puzzle pieces. For 4 continuous days, mail him one of the pieces. On the 5th day, reveal when and where he should meet you to get the final piece of the puzzle. Okay. That's really good. That works really well, because then you have to see him every fucking day, and he's like, what is this? What? Oh, you'll see. And then the next one comes, and he's like, holy Christ, how long is this going to go on? The message is, meet me in the basement. And then it's like, I thought we would fuck in the basement. He's like, I don't really like the basement. Number 6. Leave a note in his car that says, I can't wait to see you tonight. Or maybe, I can't wait for you to see me tonight? There's a question mark there. Then wear something to bed that catches his eye. Why is there a question mark? I can't wait for you to see me tonight? What does that even mean? If I got that note, I'd be very baffled. Again, the grammar ruins the whole thing. 7. Send a sexy email or text message to your man. Okay. Well, yeah, who has to be told to do it? Don't send me a sexy email, though. Unless it's one of those emails where you type the digits out and it creates a picture and it's of a nude of yourself, then by all means. Because then I'll think, wow, this lady really wants to be naked. Because that must have taken hours. 8. When your husband goes out of town, give him a sealed note for each day he will be gone. Build anticipation in each note for his return home. Let me explain how that works. I drive one block, open all the notes, and then sort of panic trying to reorganize them because then when I talk to you on the phone, I have to remember which notes I should have opened and shouldn't have. Because I will forever be that child who cannot wait to open the gifts before Christmas. If you buy me a Christmas gift, just give it to me when you get it. As soon as Amazon drops it on your door, don't even unbox it. Just bring it over to my house. I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Don't worry. 9. The next time you're out to dinner, casually take out a pen and write a note to him on a paper napkin, letting him know what he can look forward to at home. Fold it and slide it across the table. I mean, yeah, that's a pretty solid move. Although, if it's explicit, I also appreciate instructions on disposing of the napkin. You know, now get up, go to the bathroom, and flush this down the toilet. I mean, that doesn't sound romantic, but I have anxiety about that. I'm like, oh, God, what if I forget this, leave it on the table, and the waitress is like, ah, gross. That gross guy is going to go fuck that lady? Great. This has ruined my shift. I need to go home. How am I supposed to look at the salad bar and think that's fresh stuff when I've got this on my mind? 10. Compliment your husband in front of others. You may be the only one in his life who's doing it. Oh, my husband is so good at picking out a restaurant to eat at and getting a good table next to the window. Isn't he? Yes, this will please your husband and annoy the living fuck out of all your friends. Good God. Don't you think my husband is good at being tall? Sure. Yeah, wow, that's amazing. You're right, I see what you see in him now, and that has added value to our relationship as friends. 11. Using dry erase markers, leave a note to your sweetie on the bathroom mirror. Hey, clean this dirty mirror. That would be the note I left back. Please clean the mirror. Next time, use a paper. We have lots of paper lying around. This is why we have paper. Family meeting. We need to discuss why we have all this paper laying around. Where did you even get a dry erase marker? This is in the goddamn school. 12. On a small piece of paper, more like it, write a short note of encouragement and slip it into his pants pocket. He'll find it later when he's fishing for change. Okay. Yeah, you can do it, honey. I believe in you. I mean, that might be nice. I don't know. What happens to people? I have a big presentation at work. I believe in... Okay. This is like a sitcom thing, isn't it? 13. Send a bouquet of candies or cookies to his workplace with a sweet note. Oh, yeah. That would be great so that every coworker I have could eat like 5 cookies. That's really important to me. 14. Compose a lot. You know what? I just need to say something here about sharing a kitchen and goods with coworkers. Like, bringing cookies to work is extremely unrewarding, and here's why. If I bring those in at 9 a.m., there will be 1.5 cookies left at 9:45. I don't know what makes people think that it's okay if someone brings in a huge plate of cookies to eat 5. It is not a, you know, if you get your own cookies or make them, eat as many as you fucking want. But if you bring in a tray of cookies, there should be enough for everyone to get one the whole day. Secondly, never saw anything in half. Ever. I don't know what kind of animals think that's okay to do. These are units. A cookie is a unit. A donut is a unit. And if you can't eat the whole unit, throw the other half away. I don't want to know about it. Third, and final, and perhaps most important, If I bring in a plate of cookies with foil over the top, I should not go into the break room at the end of the day to collect the plate and foil and find a dirty plate covered in crumpled foil sitting there. If you take the last of cookies that somebody brought into the workplace, or donuts, or whatever, feel free to take 2 seconds and rinse off the goddamn plate and throw the foil in the trash. I slaved over a hot oven to bring those in just for that? I think not. Do everyone a favor. And finally, do not leave one of the 25 cookies just sitting on the plate, because that means you're not responsible. Okay, 14. Compose a love poem, perhaps a haiku for your love. Find a special time and place to read it to him. Consider framing it and hanging it in your bedroom. Oh my God. By the way, this kind of thing is happening, and this is why if I come to your house, if I come to see your house, you know, or I'm visiting for the first time, and you're like, do you want to do the tour? My answer is usually no, because it's a fucking house. Do you have a Ms. Pac-Man machine up there? Then no, I don't, you know, I don't need to see your hallway with all the pictures of your family in it. I've seen that. I've seen your family. I've seen the people in real life. But this is why, even if you, I do the tour, if you insist, I'll feel free to not show me the bedroom. Yeah, you know, there shouldn't be anything in there that I need or want to see. Oh, what kind of, if you take me into your bedroom, believe me, I'm throwing the blankets off the bed and laying on the bed and, you know, asking you a lot of uncomfortable questions. That's going to be your punishment for doing that. Why would you introduce me into that, your lair? 15. Slide over and sit next to your loved one in the car. Buckle up for safety. Yeah, safety, that's important. So we're in a car with bench seats then? You fell in love with the guy who's driving a Buick from the late 90s? That was a good move. You know, that could only really be realistic if it's like a teen girl who's in love with a, you know, 50-year-old man. That's a very inappropriate relationship. 16. Treat your hardworking honey to a back rub. Am I the only person on the earth who does not really care for back rubs and massages and that kind of thing? It is nothing for me. I don't know. Why is that? Why do we assume, you know, we assume that our spouses can do these things, the people we date. We assume that they're good at rubbing backs. We all assume they can cut hair. They can't. We all assume they can do these things, and then it's like, ah, God, there's a reason you don't do this for a living. 17. Dust off that old game of Twister and have some fun. With each round, the loser must remove a piece of clothing. He'll be sure to see that you lose. Let me fast forward to what happens as we play Twister. I start sweating because I'm always sweating, and then you get to see me in the nude as I tear my scrotum in half trying to reach for, you know, left hand red. That's going to be a real, you know, well, we'll be intimate after that. I mean, it might not be in a sexy way, but you will know me inside and out as you see what a testicle looks like up close. Unsheathed. 18. Join him next time he's taking a shower. Too shy? Then greet your guy with a warm towel as he's stepping out of the shower and help him dry off. I mean, I don't know. I just showered. You know, what am I doing? I'm going to work now? It's like you're toweling me off. And what the fuck are you doing? You know, I'm just trying. I got 10 minutes. I got to be out the door in 10 minutes. This is not the time. Not the time. 19. As he heads for work, give him a passionate kiss. If he wants to know what it was for, tell him it's the appetizer for tonight's menu. I mean, if you kiss me nicely on my way to work, I'm not going to be like, what the fuck was that all about? You know, oh, well, obviously you're in a very passionless relationship if that's how you feel. Someone kisses you and you say, oh, whoa, whoa, the hell are you thinking? 20, go for a walk after dinner holding hands. Oh, good one. 21, spend time kissing him. Really kissing him. Sure, that never hurts. 22, play footsie with him the next time you are having dinner at your in-laws. Why does that have to be at your in-laws' house? You want him to know that you guys are going to fuck after you leave his parents' house? Not, that's not necessary. You know, I don't want to be sitting in a booth with my mom and you're like rubbing my crotch. My mom's telling me about how she's, you know, her productivity at work has gone up because they have a new system of tracking. These are not things that need to be combined. I don't know. Some things, I guess, are fun because they're wrong, but that's just not good. I mean, how would you feel if I stuck my hand down the back of your pants in the booth and was fingering the top of your ass crack? Just barely in there. Just barely at the top of the crack, and you know you're talking to your dad. Does that seem like something that would be a turn on? 23. When the house is quiet, light some candles, play some soft music, and dance cheek to cheek. Make it a dance he will never forget. Oh, yeah. You know, I got it on good authority from a professional dance person that dancing on carpet is bad for your joints. So, there you go. 24. The next time your husband is at the kitchen sink, walk up behind him and give him a really big hug. Oh, that's very sweet. 25. Pamper his tootsies with a relaxing foot massage. All you need is a warm basin of water, some soap, a towel, and some lotion. See, that's like one of those almost enslavement feeling kind of things. I don't think I like that. Feeling that my spouse is my slave. If I wanted a slave, I would just find a slave. You know, or marry somebody who was helpless and say, listen, I'll pay for you. You just got to keep it tight and sexy by going to the gym. And other than that, you're just kind of a slave. But without all the hitting and, you know, I'll let you wear normal clothes, not pirate clothes that we stole from somewhere. 26. On a chilly night, cuddle under a blanket with your husband and watch a movie. Surprise him with a little kiss on the lips or a nip on the neck. Okay, watch a movie. Very original. 27. Good thing they published a book for this. This is the problem I have with some of these. Hug him. Kiss him. Watch a movie. Good book. 27. Get up a few minutes earlier than usual, brush your teeth, and get back in bed and wake him up with a kiss. You don't need to brush your teeth to kiss me in the morning. Jesus Christ. It's kind of, you know, I guess I have a skewed vision of this, because basically in the morning I wake up with a mouthful of braces and rubber bands. It would be impossible to use your tongue to kiss me in the morning, basically. Unless you just wanted to lick my face. You're probably just better off, you know, waking me up and saying, go brush your teeth, then come back here and kiss me. I will remain unbrushed. I don't know. Get some Banaca. Do they still sell that? Put it by the bed. Play the touching game. Make 10 cards describing ways to touch and 10 cards with places to touch, one idea per card. Without looking, pull one card from each pile and then take action. You know what the problem is with that? Then you end up with weird stuff like lick your partner's knees. Ooh. You know. Put your penis on your partner's lower back. Okay. Now my penis is resting on your lower back. This is a terrible game. We should have just played probably Pictionary, and I draw a penis and then say, let's have sex. That's, I don't know. 29. Save your spare change in a large, clear jar. Let him know you are saving up to buy him something special. Okay. I don't know how to react to that. Yes, in 14 months, I will have enough to buy you a mid-tier iPod out of the package, refurbished. Great. 30. Make him a book of coupons that are good for things he likes, his favorite dessert, a special meal, and you. This never works. I really hate this when people do these love coupons. I hate that. You know why I hate it? Because it doesn't work. Because, okay, let's say you give me a coupon and this is like good for a good fuck anytime you want. You can use whatever language you want, but you get the idea. Here's the problem with that. It's a complete lie. Because if I have a McDonald's gift certificate, at any time McDonald's is open, if it's a 24-hour McDonald's, I get McDonald's whenever I go in with that, and I get the same $5 of McDonald's. You know what I mean? Okay, granted, it degrades over 20 years. I won't be able to get as much for $5 as I was in 1990. But, you know, sex coupon could have the same thing. It'd be like, well, listen, if it takes you 20 years, I can't promise that I can perform at the same level, but I'll do my level best. Whatever the standard. Here's the problem. I get the gift card for the sex, and then, I don't know, one day you come home and you're pissed off and yelling at me, and then I say, well, okay, I want to redeem this sex. No, you can't. Or maybe, I don't know, one day I'm horny. You know, we were just talking with your dad. I was fingering the top of your ass crack, just lightly. And I say, well, how about we cash in this gift certificate? And you're like, no, I'm pissed off. So how does that work? It's a lie. It's not a real gift. I mean, if I get Nintendo for myself, I can play it when I'm mad or sad or happy. But, I don't, you know. Should be, the gift cards need to be something like, I don't know, something more practical. I'm trying to think, you know, I will just go and buy you a donut immediately. It does not matter what time. People need to stick to the gift certificate. That's the key. If you give the gift card of let's fuck anytime when you turn this in, it's got to be your 24-hour McDonald's of sex now. 31. Bring him a surprise from the grocery store, a magazine, a candy bar, or whatever else will let him know you are thinking about him. I had a girlfriend do that for me when I was sick once. It was very sweet. She brought me a magazine. I don't know why I brought that up. It's just painful memory there. 32. Buy him that CD, DVD, book, or video game he's had his eye on. Sure, that's always nice, right? You come home and you're saying, hey, here's a 3DS. With Luigi's Mansion or whatever. I don't know what that's called. Keep a running list of his favorite things, clothes, sizes, and gift ideas. This is a good idea, actually. Anyone should keep a list. Just put it on your phone. You know, because what'll happen is through your days, you'll come up with gifts to get people. But then you forget. Because you don't think about them. You're thinking about you. But then you can refer to it when their birthday comes around. 34. Go with him to his favorite store and let him treat himself to something he'd like. What is my favorite store? I don't know. Do people... Amazon.com? We go, we just get online? You know, we drive somewhere that has Wi-Fi. Is that the way we go to Amazon.com? And then I just pick out something I like, which could be anything on the planet. I don't know. I feel like asking a fella to have a favorite store. Kind of a lot. 35. Secretly buy him tickets to a special event. Plan a lunch/dinner date on the day of the event. After dessert, give him the tickets. Don't tell me we're going. I mean, sure, that would be nice. 36. Purchase a piece of clothing for yourself that you know he will especially like. Pick a special time and place to wear it. Yeah, I don't know. What does that mean? A revealing dress? Then we're out at dinner and everyone's looking at your cans? That's nice for me. I appreciate that. 37. If your husband is a collector of coins, baseball cards, etc., kill him. 38. Have a professional photographer take a picture of you, frame your favorite pose, and give it to your husband. Okay. That's a good thing. A professional photographer. How about any friend with a phone? And then you give him a pic. I feel weird. Wouldn't you feel weird giving your significant other a pic? Here's a picture of me in a frame. I did that. You know, I picture me and my brother, and I gave it to my mom for her birthday. That's what you give your mom, because it's like, well, what the fuck else do you give her? You know, I don't know what she wants. But your husband? Here's a picture of me. Great. I guess I'll put this on my desk at work. And I'm thinking about, what am I doing with my life? 39. Refrain from saying, I told you so. That might be the best gift of all. Yeah, you can't say that. What point is that? 40. Find a used bookstore or check online for a collectible copy of his favorite book. That'd probably get me, but I'm a book nerd, so what are you going to do? 41. I mean, what's most guys' favorite book? Oh, this is the Beckett catalog from when I was 10, and it has all my favorite baseball cards in it. You know, who cares? 41. Handwrite his favorite Bible verse on parchment. After laminating it, surprise him by tucking it into his Bible. Wow. Take a Bible verse, put it on parchment, laminate it. That way he can jack off next to it and not worry that it's going to get dirty. And then put it in his Bible. The place where that Bible verse originated anyway. Oh, God. If someone did that for me, if they took a Bible that I had for some god-awful reason... the second they picked it up to put that in there, they discovered that the Bible was hollowed out and there was a pistol inside. 42. For a significant anniversary, buy him a gold watch. Engrave it with a romantic phrase like, I'll always have time for you. Oh my God. You know what? I always was mostly attracted to your puns. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'll always have time for you. Get it? It's a watch that tells time. Oh, God. 43. Arrange for you and your spouse to take a day off and then do something you enjoy together. Yeah, call in sick. That's fun. 44. Schedules can often get out of control. Be sure to schedule time just for yourself so you'll have some energy left for him. Yeah, actually, that might be one of the best pieces of advice right there. I tell you what, if you're in a long-term relationship, your partner may very much enjoy your company. If you every once in a while say, you know what, Saturday, going out with the ladies all day, your husband or spouse will appreciate that. And if he doesn't, if he's pissed, then he's a loser. And he has no friends of his own. And that's his own fault. But trust me, it doesn't mean they don't like you. It's just nice. It's nice to have some time to yourself. 45. Serve him his favorite dessert and gourmet coffee by candlelight. Yeah, do that. My favorite dessert. Please. 46. Take the afternoon off and catch a matinee. Sit in the back row. Yeah, okay, so you can jerk him off in the movies. That's a good... I should write my own version of this. Jerk him off at the movies. See, I don't really want to get jerked off at the movies, though. I'd be like, well, we could have just gone home. There's a whole period of movies from, you know, my late teens when I was trying to do dates or watching it with a female friend in the room who the whole time I'm just thinking... Maybe I should touch her leg or something. And I don't remember any of these movies. There's a whole era of movies that's completely lost. I watched the entirety of Ocean's 11 with a platonic female friend, wondering if I should make a move. I remember nothing from that movie. I think Brad Pitt might be in it. There was an Asian man who got inside of a box. That is all I remember. Literally. I've recently discovered that all my other memories are actually from the remake of The Italian Job. So I don't know, let's go watch a movie or jack me off, but we don't need to do both. Or if we're going to jack me off in front of a movie, let's watch Beetlejuice. I can fill in the gaps later. 47, play a board game you both enjoy. Yeah, okay. That, no such thing. 48, sit down with your husband and listen to him. Ask him how you can help fulfill the dreams he has for his life. Oh my God. My spouse sat down and said, honey, how can I help you fulfill the dreams you have for your life? And be like, what's going on? Do you have cancer? What is this? Are you okay? What's going on? What the fuck is happening? Are you leaving me? Who are you cheating? What is this? Very creepy. I mean, I expect something like, tell me how I can fulfill your dreams. And then I finish talking and then you say, now it's time to die. 49. Reminisce about your favorite dating memories. Plan together to reproduce his favorite one. Yeah, okay. You know, retrace the past. See if it's more magical, less magical than the past, or equal. See how you've changed and become dead to the world. 50. Pick up the book Rekindling the Romance and tell him you'd like to read it together. So in this book, it's recommending that you get a different book. That's a good idea. That'd be like if, I wrote a novel and at the beginning I was like, first of all, to read this novel, you should just read The Great Gatsby instead. 51. Go to a local park. Spend some time reconnecting as a couple. Pack snacks and stay a while. Nothing like a good park. Be harassed by kids and foreigners with a soccer ball. 52. Have your guy write down on slips of paper his 5 favorite things to do. Fold them and place them in a bowl. Let him draw one out and read it, then do it together. Why can't you just be, yeah, okay. Indecisive fella, but that's okay. It happens. 53, circle and star a location on a map, then tape the map to the fridge. When he asks, just smile and wink, but don't tell. On the appointed day, drive him to the location and either have a picnic or just make out. Why is this like you're becoming an international woman of mystery? You know, it's like all of a sudden I'm married to fucking James Bond. It's like, ah, star on a map. What is it? Oh, you'll find out. Then you put a potato sack over his head, take him out there, zip tie his hands together, beat the shit out of him, and leave him in the forest. And then when he gets out of the forest, give him a big hug and say, I knew you could do it, and fuck him on the side of the road. 54. Play a spicy rendition of the old classic childhood game of Mother May I. Change the name to Darling May I and have lots of grown-up fun. Yeah, just leave it as Mother. Then it'll be real weird and fun. 55. Blindfold your husband and kidnap him. I did not pre-read this book. And literally, this just suggested the thing I just suggested as a complete farce. I do not want to be kidnapped. That's a pretty natural human instinct, right? To not be kidnapped. 56. Take a class together. Find a topic, hobby, or sport you both want to learn more about and sign up. Well, as long as it's not volleyball or a sport or a class where I have to learn much, that would be fine. 57. Spend time together in the kitchen making his favorite dinner, cookies, or dessert. Yeah, I mean, you don't really have much choice. That's what happens. You make things together. 58. Prepare a special snack at bedtime and serve it to him in bed. Chocolate-covered anything is sure to please. I'm not really a big fan of eating in the bed. And they make a bed a shape for sleeping. That's why it does not have a table, you know, a tabletop. They made these things, you know, like TV trays and all that stuff. That was before we could just have a TV wherever we wanted, mounted on the wall. That's why no one buys a TV tray anymore. You know. And if you want to eat on the couch, eat on the couch. Don't try and transform your couch into a sort of table. Bed, same deal. 59, wash and vacuum his car. For the final touch, top off his gas tank, too. Yeah, I guess, if you want to. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I'd call that romantic. Hey, I washed your car for you. Okay. I could tell you're wearing cut-off jeans and a shirt that's button-up, but you tied it off in the middle for some reason. 60. Make an effort to keep yourself healthy and physically fit. Well, I think we covered that in more detail than anyone ever cared to hear. 61. Pick up his favorite dish from his favorite restaurant and serve it to him on your best china. Pretty good. But, you know, Wendy's on fine china, I've discovered, looks really strange. 62. Host a party for him and his friends to watch their favorite sporting event on TV. Yeah. That's really fun when you host that party. You don't need to host it. Just tell him to do, you know, invite the people. Make the food. You don't need to be run. You become like that weird mom at the sleepover. Oh, you guys want snacks? I'm going to keep coming and interrupting you. 63. Give him a break from his weekend chores by either mowing the lawn or arranging for it to be done. I hired someone to mow the lawn, so I just spent money instead of you doing it. Drop by your husband's workplace unexpectedly and whisk him away for lunch. Yeah, I don't like that. I really need my lunchtime to cry in my car at the subway. Yeah, you know, I've got a pretty tight schedule planned. I get out of there about 10 minutes later than I should because I get held up somewhere. Then I walk to my car, drive it two blocks, go in, get my sub sandwich from someone who doesn't want to be at their job either, park my car so that it's not facing the building and no one's likely to walk by, eat a sandwich and feel the tears coming on, then a certain song or two will come on the old iPod. That's when the waterworks begin. Then, eat the cookie and feel even more pathetic because that's the happiest part of the day. And try and dry the tears with the extra napkins that I asked for, knowing that this was coming, and head back to work. 65, initiate something special in the bedroom. Okay. Here's my butthole. I mean, what does that even mean? That's pretty vague. 66, you are never too old to flirt. Flirt with the man you married. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what flirting is, really. So I was at the therapist, you know, I've been seeing, and he's asked how long it's been since I've been on a date. And he said, geez, that's a long time. You know, which was a little bit funny because, you know, I was like, buddy, you don't know the half of it. So far, this is the least time I've gone between, you know, dates since I've been dating, really. I mean, I've not even hit the long time point yet. Kind of a fuck up, right? As a therapist, to be like, Jesus Christ, get a move on. You know, I don't know. I didn't think of, I guess it's been a while, but I wouldn't consider it a long time. But I'm not good at the flirt. I'm not flirty. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm not interested in that, really. Hey, I'm flirting. I mean, once I like someone, it's fun, but flirting as a method of discovery has never worked for me. 67. Surprise your husband with a special spa treatment after he's had a long day. Draw him a bath, create a soothing environment, scented candles, bubbles, music, refreshing beverage, etc. This is one of those, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is what you would, this is like when I buy a present for someone because I'm like, well, that's what I would like. And then I don't really realize until I've wrapped it and I'm handing it over. I'm like, ah, you bought that because that's what you would want to get as a gift. Fuck. Fuck, shit, fuck. Now you're screwed. 68. Think of a couple of things that your honey does for you and the family and let him know how much you appreciate him. Yeah, say nice shit. No, duh. 69. On Friday night, tell him he gets to sleep in late the next morning. Serve him breakfast in bed. Again, eating in the bed. This is all about eating in the bed. 70. Offer to shave him. Oh, my God. So, a friend of the show had an incident like this. I'll make it a short version. This was in college. He stayed, like, at her dorm. And they did not have sex. She stopped things short of having sex. However, the next morning, asked if she could shave him. And did shave him. One of the more bizarre stories ever, because I can't imagine someone shaving me before I've had sex with them. That seems like a weird intimacy line to have, to say, I'm not going to have sex with you, but I will stare in the mirror as I shave you. Okay, yeah, I'll shave your legs. That, how about that? What? 71. Plan a weekend away for the two of you. Cater to his desires and his needs. Okay. Some of these are just too slavey. 72. The next time he's watching a game on television, ask him if he has any plans for halftime. If not, tell him you've made plans for him to score. Yeah. Unhealthy obsession with sports, here's what I would say it was. If you wanted to have sex with your wife, and she said, how long till halftime? And you're like, I don't know, man, 40 minutes? And she's like, cool, let's bang during halftime. I would say, let's just have sex now. What's the point, you know? And wait till, I'm going to miss the halftime show? Are you kidding? I don't know. That's not, okay. I don't understand sports or sex, so obviously that's not in my wheelhouse. 73. Prepare for special events. Maintain current email addresses and cell phone numbers of your husband's friends. Okay. Yeah, completely involved in his life. 74. Hire a handyman to fix things around the house. Use the time you saved your hubby to do something fun to get. Don't call him your hubby. Never use that word. That's a gross word. 75. If your lives are crazy busy, schedule some special time for romance on your calendars. Use little red heart stickers to mark the days. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. This is like Valentine's Day, right? It's kind of stupid, but at the same time, if you need the reminder, go for it. 76. Men are stimulated by sight. Take a personal interest in your appearance. That's 100% true. 77. Seek to resolve misunderstandings and conflict before you go to sleep each night. Yeah, I think I'm a believer in that. There's nothing like stewing, laying next to someone that you're pissed off at all night. It becomes like, when I sit next to someone on the airplane, they become my worst enemy. Every little habit, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, the way that guy reads the book, the way his eyes go across, what an asshole. When you're mad at your spouse, it's the same deal. You're laying in bed and you're like, gee, fuck. Yeah, I never noticed before, but the way she lays on her side is real stupid looking. So yeah, you should probably get that shit out of the way. 78. Admit when you're wrong and be willing to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I guess so, if you mean it. That would probably help. 79. Consider attending a weekend to remember. That's a trademarked thing. Marriage conference. Oh my God. Should we see what that is? Dare I type in this URL? let's see, familylife.com/weekend. I have a feeling this would be hell. But let's see. Let's see what they tell us. Okay. It's a young, happy couple looking into each other's eyes on a beach. What you and your spouse hear during the weekend to remember, trademark. They really trademarked this weekend to remember. Oh, here. There's a video. That's perfect. Let's pot up this video and see what they have to tell us about a weekend to remember.
Marriage. For many couples, it's a wonderful thing. But for others...
Okay, still images slideshow of like, oh, here's a Asian couple, here's a black couple.
Life begins to get in the way. Kids.
Oh, I'm so frustrated. I'm holding my head and the other one's looking out the window pensively.
Things just begin to take a toll. But the truth is, no marriage is perfect.
What?
And that truth is why Family Life created Weekend to Remember.
Okay, a shitty-looking guy, a terrible Best Buy khaki, has just walked across a hotel lobby where they're projecting in light on the floor a suitcase that says Family Life presents Weekend to Remember in HGTV font. Everything I feared is here.
It's an opportunity for couples to get away and...
people looking bored on a bench.
Come together. Because through God, troubled marriages...
Okay, there we go.
...this can be saved.
A lady crying.
And strong marriages can be strengthened.
Well, the Weekend, remember, is just a great weekend getaway for a...
Let's see, this is the president and CEO standing with his wife, who looks like a first lady mummy.
...couple where you can spend a lot of time together.
He's like a shitty Bill Gates.
But... you get a chance to spend that time
with a toupee
around receiving.
Here's a guy giving a chat using a PowerPoint. That's probably really helpful. And a bunch of horrible looking people in the audience
from the scriptures
taking
how
notes.
You build your marriage.
When you arrive for the weekend, we'll help you step
escalator.
Away from daily life. Cell phones are turned off. To-do lists are forgotten.
Oh, that's perfect.
Weekend to Remember offers biblically grounded yet practical advice on how...
Oh, guy, he's in a terrible hotel pen to take notes.
Tension in your home.
Jesus Christ.
How to connect with your spouse more intimately. How to walk away with a step-by-step plan for a...
How much of this do you think is, about good sex? I bet it's really good.
Marriage and much
Jesus
more.
Christ.
The conference is... do meet everybody where they are, and they're still...
I mean, everybody in this crowd looks so bored. You know, they look like they're just saying, oh, God, I can't wait till this is
great
over.
Great for people that have great marriages, and I think it allows God to take you to a next level. That's what it did for us.
Yeah, probably God will fix it.
And then God said, I want you here.
It's much more than a conference. Weekend to Remember is...
Oh, that was disgusting. Some stupid old bitch working at the conference table and her husband comes over and they kiss. That's
fun,
nice.
Fun, interactive experience designed to
yeah,
help
looks
you
really fun.
With your spouse.
Everyone's having a
That's
good time.
That's why it's called a getaway. Our speakers are entertaining and will show you exactly how to pursue a marriage that really works. You'll also
Jesus.
Enjoy special projects, one-on-one couple sessions, and date night. One of the most important parts of the getaway experience. Date night is an evening set aside for you and your spouse to rekindle the fire at the
Holy
candlelight
Christ.
Dinner or just hang the Do Not Disturb sign on the door. Well, all that sounds
yeah, at
nice,
the,
you might be wondering,
Hilton
does it
really Express
work?
Right
well,
next to the
we
airport.
Think so.
Very
and
romantic.
So do the 96% of our past guests who agree that Weekend to Remember helps strengthen their marriage.
Jesus.
It was tremendously awesome.
This is the best part. The people, it's like, what did you think? It was tremendously awesome.
It opened up so many doors for us of communication.
When we were driving here, I was like...
oh, this is like a real alt-looking couple. Bald guy with a beard.
If your parents hadn't paid for this, they certainly wouldn't be doing this.
Your parents paid for it. Holy Christ. Here's what we thought you guys should have, daughter. We bought you this weekend for troubled couples who are doing shitty. Yeah, well...
Then, like, I don't know, like 2 hours into yesterday, I was like, oh my God, changing my life already.
Yeah, changing my life. I'm having the worst weekend of my life.
I know about this. It was that life changing.
That must be fun. That must be a fun couple. We went to this amazing retreat. You know what I should do? What would be a really great show? If only I had somebody, if I could find like a female, if I had a female friend and we went to this as a couple. You know, and then, oh, man. Yeah, well, she murdered my father, so we've been having some trouble lately, but I'm trying to get past, let bygones.
So what are you waiting for? Pack your bags, get away, and come
Jesus.
Together. Sign up for a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway near you.
Well, yeah, that sounds, that's great advice. I can't see how that would go wrong. Oh my God. Okay. Let's try and burn through these. We're almost there. 80. Remember, the older the violin, the sweeter the music. Author of the quote unknown. Okay, banging old broad. 81. Ladies, shave your legs before you go to bed. Actually, not a huge deal, although I did see a woman that had hairier legs than I've ever seen on a man or a woman the other day on the train, and I didn't like that. 82. Instead of feeling frustrated when he forgets to put the toilet seat down, thank him when he remembers. Okay. Yeah, give him a cookie. That's a big deal. Toilet seat. That's a hilarious... You should do stand-up. You know, the hairy legs, hairy arms thing, hairy armpits. I don't really care if you can tell that there's hair growth there. I just... It should be addressed. If I can tell that it's been addressed at some point and may be addressed again, that's enough. 83. On occasion, wear his favorite perfume, even if it's not your favorite. Yeah. 84. Be a student of your spouse. Know his likes and dislikes. Study your spouse. Really take a scientific approach, like a Spider-Man villain. That'll do good things. 85. Keep your romance closet well stocked with candles, greeting card. Romance closet? Yeah, okay. Make sure to use the west wing of your home for fucking, because that's the feng shui way to go. 86. Men view romance differently from women. No fucking shit. Ask your husband to describe what's romantic to him. Don't be surprised when his ideas sound... talk to him. Good idea. 87. Pray for your husband every day. Yeah, do that. Power of Christ compels me. All right. Masturbate with a cross. 88. Respect his sense of timing. On your next date, be ready on time or maybe even early if you typically run late. I'm always late, so fuck that. In this new year, whisper in his ear that you are determined to find some new places to kiss him. When you're alone with him, start making good on your promise. 90. Fill several Easter eggs with notes telling your husband why you love him. Nestle the eggs in a decorated... Yeah, nothing I'd like more than a fucking Easter basket. My favorite holiday. 91. The next time you and your spouse attend a wedding, tell him, if I had to do it all over, I'd marry you again. Enjoy a second honeymoon after the reception. Here's what I would say. Skip a wedding. Make a big show of skipping a wedding. You know, even if it's one you don't really want to go to. Just tell him, you know what? We're supposed to go to this wedding. I don't really want to go. Can we not go? Is that cool with you? And don't go. 92. Save him a wedding. That's a good one. 92. Have fun fooling around on April Fool's Day. Share an umbrella. Roll up your jeans and splash in the puddles. Sands, galoshes. Okay. Go out in the rain on April Fool. Well, hopefully it rains. 93. Tell your husband that you will be treating him to an off-season baseball game for Valentine's Day. Is that even a thing? Then in your bedroom or some other private location, lead him through first base, second base, and third base, and then bring him in for a home run. I mean, this is clearly, you know, and I should have seen the signs that this is like a churchy thing, because it seems almost like it's written by people who've never had sex before. It's like, bring him in. Wave him past the third base as the third base coach. Slide into home. I don't know. 94. Celebrate his birthday at the office with cake and ice cream for everyone. Oh, yeah, that's what I want. To make sure everyone in my office enjoys my birthday. Fuck them. 95. Sleep in. Have breakfast in bed and watch the Groundhog Day prediction together. Groundhog Day? Are you kidding me? Groundhog Day. If you woke me up and you're like, it's Groundhog Day. Be like, okay, well, I'm going to go back to bed. You've let me know what some idiot creature does when it pops out of a hole and there's 50,000 people standing around drunk. 96. The 19th October is Sweetest Day. Ask his mother to list his favorite candies from... Jesus Christ. 97. On Thanksgiving Day, give him a handwritten letter with the reasons you are thankful he's in your life, and then go have a miserable dinner with one of your families. 98. Send your mate on a treasure hunt this Columbus Day. Columbus Day. Oh, Jesus. On this Columbus Day, pretend you're a Native American stricken with smallpox that he brought with his penis. 98. 99. Excuse me. Spice up the 12 days of Christmas each day from December 25th through January 5th. Thanks for lining the... Why? The 12 days of Christmas start on Christmas? That makes no sense. Create small personal gifts, notes, snacks, yourself, for him only. January 6th, buy a king's cake or make your own. Okay. Father's Day is a great day to celebrate with your husband. Rent a convertible for the day and drive around with the top down. Hey, I rented this convertible for Father's Day for us to drive around in. All right. No one really knows what to do on Father's Day, do they? They're like, they need to have Father's Day events. They need to have, the Super Bowl. Should the Super Bowl or Father's Day, one of the two needs to move to be the same. Because if it was the same day, then it would be perfect. Then you wouldn't have to make a lot of decisions. Because either your husband would be like, I want to watch the Super Bowl in peace. And you'd say, fine. Or he'd say, I'm not into the Super Bowl, but, you know, we can go to as long as we go to a restaurant that doesn't have TVs, we can go anywhere we want. It's perfect. 101. Plan a romantic birthday surprise. Book the honeymoon suite at your favorite hotel and buy him a special gift, something that reveals your birthday suit. I think this honeymoon suite thing is a bad idea, because who's cleaning that? Again, the Sultan's Palace, the honeymoon suite, there's more fucking going on, you know, pound for pound, square inch for square inch in the honeymoon suite, then that room has contained more sex than probably any other room on the planet. You know what I mean? A nymphomaniac's apartment has not had so much semen sprayed all over the place. Why is that a good idea? You should just rent a regular room. 102, make your own holiday. Take this opportunity to create you should rent a room, a mid-level room, because too cheap, and it's like, yeah, someone probably took a hooker there. Too expensive, and you think, well, no one rents a room this expensive unless they're going to have sex in it. Mid-level, it's like, this is for given up middle-aged couples who don't have sex on vacation because they had to wake up too early to catch the plane. 102, make your own holiday. Take this opportunity to create a holiday that is special and unique to the two, because there's not enough holidays. There's just not enough. Well, did I help you figure out how to romance your husband? I hope so. Or at least how to not romance your husband. Things to avoid. The key problems. Well, that's another episode, guys. You know, I'd like to thank Family Life and the hands of God for helping us have some good material today. Also, you know, The Real Radio and, crazy fitness women everywhere for horrifying and confusing all of us. Everybody have a great night.
My favorite picture of you is the one where you're staring straight into the lens. Just a Polaroid shot someone took on the spot, no beginning, no end. It's just a moment in time, can't have back. You never left, but your bags were packed just in case. My favorite picture of you has been and it's faded and it's pinned to my wall. Oh, and you were so angry, it's hard to believe.